Just shout out if you like. Why do you come to church? One at a time. No, it's not a trick question. Let's hear some answers. Why do you come to church? To be encouraged. For the coffee. Yeah. To meet with God. Good. I won't labour it too much. You know, I've just been thinking as we've been sharing, and some of what I'm sharing about is that one of the reasons I come to church is because I get something from gathering with this community that I can't possibly get anywhere else, which is spiritual friendship and fellowship, spiritual encouragement, the opportunity for people to pray for me. And when I say I can't get that at work, there are people who are Christians who I could ask to, but specifically this is a place where I come to be built up. Not just here, but in small group and other places that we gather together and call ourselves a journey. And it's great that the journey is a spread of activities and a spread of places where we can live and breathe and know that God is amongst us. It's good, isn't it? It's good to know that we're never too far away from one another. Literally, in some cases, we're not spread out too far away, are we? And in this incredible age of technology, there's Skype, there's Facebook, there's all kinds of social media. You know, there's loads of ways in which we can encourage one another in the Lord. And this morning, I want to talk a little and pray more. So, opportunity to pray at the end. Yeah, because prayer changes things. I didn't have the opportunity to share this, but Denise and I, we started to add to our walking together, which is a thing that we've been doing, that we walk and talk. We started to add prayer to that, so we've been doing some prayer walking. And as we were praying and praying over situations and praying for the village, we came into St. Jude's, and just as we got there, Denise said, "Can you smell that? It's an incredible smell of incense." And there was nobody around, and there was this beautiful fragrance, and it just hung in the air. And Denise said, "What do you think it meant?" And the only thing I can think of is that the prayers of the saints are a sweet-smelling incense to the Lord. There's something remarkable happened there, and it wasn't far from the same place. Sorry if this freaks anybody out, and it's not within the bounds of your theology, but it's not far from the same place where I clearly felt that there was an angel near St. Jude's Church, and I felt him or her just lifting off and reminding me that he or she wasn't too far away. It's incredible, isn't it? So making space for that, what Richard was talking last week about, angelic visitations and people as well, not just the feathered variety. So let's encourage one another. The Word of God says this: carry one another's burdens and then you will fulfill the law of Christ. Who needs some of their burdens carried this morning? Yeah. Why we're here together, we want to trust the Lord, but we also want to go and grow in trust with one another. Trusting in the Lord creates the atmosphere for us being able to trust one another. Yeah. We need real people in our lives. Somebody once said that we need flesh and bones. It's great to trust in the Lord. It's great to trust in his Holy Spirit. But we also need flesh and blood, don't we? We need real people. So this morning, not unlike any other morning that we gather, we'll be just successful if we open our hearts and minds to the Holy Spirit. You might say that it's about the worship or a whole host of other things, but when we gather together in this context, it's the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to move in our hearts and minds and start to shift some stuff. Vicky's right, I've been wrestling with stuff almost since I started my journey as a Christian, and I'll probably continue to wrestle with stuff because I'm not perfected yet. God, by his Holy Spirit, still working in me. I've still got so much to learn, and I've still got so much to learn with you and being community together. So I've kind of grown tired and weary. This is me speaking now from my own personal experience of just turning up to church on a Sunday, not just here, but other churches, and finding a dozen or more different reasons to choose not to engage with God. And therefore, not choosing to engage with God often means that I'm not engaging with you, good people. Anybody relate to that? Have you ever done that? Yeah. and always left finding something or somebody else to blame for why I never got my blessing this morning. It's up to you this morning. It's up to me. The atmosphere is here for blessing. Always has been. Wherever we go. Being blessed, you are a blessing. So wherever we go, we are, not only are we blessed, but others are blessed. So the atmosphere is right. Let me say that right at the very beginning of this talk, the atmosphere is perfect for blessing this morning. Not one of us should be able to walk out of the door today and do what I've done in the past. So, well, that was great. Nobody spoke to me. Nobody talked to me. I never got my blessing. The worship was rubbish. The talk was too long. The talk was too short. The coffee was cold. Whatever robs you of that blessing, don't be robbed today. The thief comes only to steal, to kill and destroy. And sometimes he doesn't do it in the big ways. He just robs us bit by bit in little areas of our life where we should have overcoming joy. I sound like Benny Hinn now, don't I? I'm not going to blow on anybody. But it's true though, isn't it? It's having that sense of overcoming, overwhelming joy, because our joy is based on the fact that there's a little scripture. Sometimes the tiny bits of scripture, the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's perfect, isn't it? So my challenge, and this is where it gets a little bit, scary for some of us, because it takes a huge step of heart bravery to step into that atmosphere if you're not there yet. I've been there. So if the atmosphere here is for blessing and you're not in that same atmosphere, it takes a huge step of heart bravery to commit, to step into somewhere where God might just do something. Anybody else relate? It's probably easier sometimes just to stay where we are. And sometimes it's almost an imperceptible move towards God when he will fill with blessing and favor and hope and peace and grace and mercy. Yeah. So most of what we believe about ourselves and trusting God, I think, are distortions and lies. It's that simple. We spent yesterday planting these cherry trees. And as we got them out of the plant pot, we started to break up the root and put the soil in the belief that that root will start to grow and go into the ground and take root and become firmly established. And I want to say something. For me, in the same way that I believe lies about my identity, things have taken root in my heart, bad things. Bad lies, bad distortions about who God is, about who I am, that have challenged my identity profoundly and damaged me for far too long, you know. You know, roots take root. And when we allow the lies of the enemy to shape who we become and how we live and breathe, then it takes sometimes only a supernatural act of God to do something with it. God needs to step in and relieve us of all of the distortions and lies that, you know, Ness talked about breathing in and breathing out the truth about who God is and using scripture to breathe in and to breathe out. I know that there have been areas in my life when I've kind of breathed in toxic lies about my identity. It's almost like going into a garage, closing a door and turning the car engine on and just breathing in and breathing out. There's nothing good coming in and there's nothing good going out. Come on. It's reality, isn't it? Sometimes full of God, full of the Holy Spirit. It's only good going in and only good coming out. And it's good for you when it comes in and it's good for others when it comes out. This is our best expression of ourselves. So we know that in many ways, these lies, sometimes we know them more than the truth. Yeah. If I was asking you to write down, I'm not doing that now, by the way, it's not here to embarrass anybody. But if I was to ask people to write down in a few sentences or more some of the lies that I or you have believed about yourself, you would be able to do it. I'd probably have to stop you. But if I asked you to write down, memorize scripture that you can remember, you might struggle. It's time to learn more about the truth about ourselves and Jesus Christ than the lies that the enemy will place in our hearts and minds. He's looking to destroy us. He's looking to separate us. He's looking to even stop us from doing something simple. Think, I don't feel like I'll go to church today. That's not a legalistic thing about coming to church, but the Word of God says, don't neglect coming to church like some have. Because when we come to church, it says that we can provoke one another to love and good deeds. Sometimes the worst time to go to church is the time when you feel least like it, because then that will turn into the best time. Am I talking to myself? I'm sure. Come on, be blessed. This is a good place to be. Right in the middle. So, trust in God. Go back on topic. It's in there somewhere. What areas do we find it hard to trust God? Anybody, shout one out. Pardon? Yeah. That's good, Richard. Anybody else? Yeah. Ability, yeah. Couple more. Excellent. One for myself here as I get older. Health. Anybody else? One more. Yep, relationships. So just a few examples of where we find it hard to trust God. And for me, that a lot of these are still an ongoing. As I said, not perfected. So from time to time, there will be peace in these areas. You know, just like health kind of fluctuates, doesn't it? It's great when you're feeling well, but when you feel ill, that's when you start to feel doubtful and things start to creep in. Yeah, so this is kind of still an ongoing. And you've covered that. I've got down here career and work, ability, relationships, future, money, health. For those of us that are parents, our children, you know, trusting God for our children, yeah? So why don't we trust God? What kind of things stop us from trusting God? A few more. Excellent, yeah. Yeah. Is that the past? Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. Anything else? Yeah. Oh, control. Yeah. Yeah. It's a good catch-all thing, really. Others. Yeah. 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 Reality. Yes, you've got fear, worry, being preoccupied, the past, control, others. And that could include past experiences of our upbringing, damage as children, dysfunctional families, things people have said to us, the way people have hurt us. You know, I come from a reasonably dysfunctional family at times, and some of the things that were said over me were incredibly damaging. It took me a long time to get over them and process. And they still come back from time to time. I could add doubt and anger. You ever been angry with God? Yeah. Annoyed with Him? Yeah.
A wrong view.
Pardon?
A wrong view of God.
Yeah, I've got that down actually. Distorted image of Him. Yeah. I'll come on to that a little bit more. Excellent. So just one little verse to kind of shape your thinking for the rest of the day, the rest of the week and going on. Encourage you to learn how to trust in God. Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 to 6. It's very straightforward. I'll do two, one from the King James Version or the New King James and one from the Message. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Paths. It's happening. Damn it. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Yeah. So as I kind of wrapping up shortly, coming to the end of this, but as I put this word together, I was looking to get something for myself. So when I look to get ready to prepare a talk or something similar, I'm also looking for something for myself. You know, what do you want to say to me about this area, Lord? Because I've struggled, as I said, with all of these areas about identity, and other areas have been damaged by some of these kind of limiting beliefs, they're called. You know, things that I put on myself that not only constrain me and make me small, but they make God small and they constrain God. And I might stay small and constrained, but God can never be constrained and small. It's just not possible. So a distorted image of God keeps him small and constrained when he is not like that at all and never has been. Can I get an amen? Come on. So during the late medieval period, this is remarkable, around the 15th to 17th century, there was a weird psychiatric disorder that started to sweep through Europe. And many people come to believe that they were entirely made of glass and that any physical contact would make them shatter. So it was called the glass delusion. Imagine that. They actually believed that they were physically made of glass and any contact would make them shatter into 1,000 pieces. Yeah. Have you ever felt that fragile? Yeah? I know I have. So our own glass delusions, the places where we think that we will shatter if somebody or something touches us, are often around being exposed about our dreams, our fears, anxieties, our worries. Yeah. And deep down, we're afraid that if we share it with anybody else, that it will shatter us. Yeah. It's about trusting God and trusting one another. So trust the Lord with all your heart. And he will never shatter you. And learn to trust one another as well. Because there's nobody here in this church or other churches where there's authentic servant Christian leadership that in any way wants to shatter or expose anybody. As we're hearing about from Ness again, that servant leadership is about building people up, giving them a hope to live and dream, to give them room, to give one another room so that we can grow into the fullness of who God's called us to be. Yeah. And in doing that, we become shatterproof. Come on, it's an amazing thing that God does. He builds resilience into us. He turns us from being in a place where we think that we will easily shatter into almost being shatterproof, not indestructible, but much more resilient to the cares and the worries and the troubles of this life. Because Jesus said, in this life, you will have trouble. But take heart because I've overcome the world. I want some of that this morning, some of that overcoming. Yeah. There's 1,000 things to worry about every day. Yeah. Every time you turn on the television, there's always an expression of something that can just take grip and start to bring fear into our heart and mind. So go back to my thoughts. So give me something, Lord, around this word that resonates for me and hopefully will resonate with you. And it was this. A simple meaning for trust in God and one another is this. Trust means I include you in this. And that's quite profound, isn't it? So not just with you as a group of people that I've grown and know, and I know who love me and I love you, but with God. When we include God in our stuff, we're saying, I include you in fill in the blanks, whatever it is. And that's a simple meaning for me in what trust is. If we don't do that, can we probably reasonably call that distrust or mistrust? Yeah. And it's the same for one another. You know, when I carry my stuff around for so long that you might, well, some of you who know me well enough will be tuned in enough to know that I might be standing like this, but you will know when I'm starting to do this. Because you know me well enough, you will see the signs and know when I'm carrying too much stuff, too much rubbish. The enemy of my heart, the devil, Satan, whatever you want to call him, situations and circumstances have begun to overwhelm and make me start to droop and sag. Now, to a lot of other people at work, they'll never see that and never perceive it. And that's another reason why, as we gather together and we know one another well, without even having to be told, we can pick up when one another is struggling. We're here for one another. So when I trust you, I'm saying I include you in this and whatever this is. Yeah. And just thinking about an illustration, Rich and Emily, thank you so much for sharing last week. It was so powerful and it really touched me. And is it that you had both learned and continue to learn, and it wouldn't be hurtful to say that you're at different stages of life. And as Richard was talking about 40 years of accrued experience and knowledge of who Jesus is, and Emily, not quite 40 years, but setting off on this journey. But you were both really and profoundly sharing how real God is to you, and how he's proved himself in different ways, either at the beginning of the Christian walk or as you've walked for many years with him. You know, journals and letters expressing to him the depths of your joy and your despair and your anger and your annoyance and your frustration, the highs and lows, the tears and the sad, all of that wrapped up in this proper reality that in spite of all that, God is still very real. Come on. God is still very real. You both shared the kind of stories that encouraged me. Stories of hope that time and time again he showed himself to be real, to be true, and to be trustworthy. And God always is real. He's always true. And he's always trustworthy. He can't be anything else. Yeah. Trust built on reality. I was thinking about mountain climbing. You know, there's nothing better when you're climbing a mountain and you've got everything prepared and you've got all your kit, you've got your rucksack on and you're ready to go, and you stand at the foot of this thing that you're going to conquer, and you look for the little bits that you've worked out in your mind, you've studied, you've got all your little clips that you need, everything, your rope, and off you go and you start climbing, and you start to realize it's getting harder and the muscles in your arms start to ache. And then you reach in for the talcum powder, you think, keep going, and the lactic acid is beginning to kick in. You think, press on, press on, and you get to the top. And that overwhelming sense of joy when you've conquered this mountain. Yeah. I've never climbed a mountain in my life. But that was just to demonstrate, really, that experience beats theory every time. And what Richard and Emily was sharing, and others, is a genuine experience of the loving grace and mercy of a loving, kind Father. Not something that they've just gleaned from a book. And I look out at every one of you, I know that you've all shared and acknowledged the experience of a real, loving Father in God. It's tremendous, isn't it? Yeah. So for me, that mountain climbing analogy, just to say, it doesn't mean anything to you, does it? Did for a couple of minutes, you're thinking, well, I never knew John climbed mountains for a It's incredible. But it means so much more when we share about what we've really experienced in God. So build your life on these two things amongst many, many more. We can trust in Father God because he is one who cannot and doesn't lie. All of his promises to us are true. All of his promises to you are true. Everything that he said to you is true and trustworthy. We can trust in Father God for provision because he is a perfect Father, full of love, grace, mercy, hope, truth, and peace. He is totally faithful. So how can I and we pray for you today? So that's where I'm going to close. I'm going to ask people to take that step of heart bravery to move from one atmosphere to another and say, Lord, you know what it's been like. It's been tough, some of these things. But today, Lord, I give you permission to step in and do something miraculous for me, to do something incredible for me, to take my burden away. So how can we pray for you today? So as the meeting comes to a close and as this word finishes, I'm going to be here and others will stand over there. Please come and be prayed for any of these situations or anything else. Yeah, it's heart bravery. It is. But if we're not gathering to see lives changed and transformed, if we're not willing to trust one another with our stuff and include you and I in this, then why do we meet? Because I don't want anybody to walk out of this place today to go through another whole week or a minute of anxiety or fear or lack of courage or worried about a health issue when the time is now to at least give God the opportunity to do something amazing. Amen. So we'll be over here. Thank you.